We heard from the book of Revelation, the famous vision of John, who is also the gospel writer, vision of what heaven would be like. And we also have this famous number here, the number of the 144,000 that were marked, right? And some of the Christian religions think that that's a limited number. We, of course, see that as a symbolic number, 12 times 12, right? The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles. It's a figurative number. It's a great multitude. And if we go on right to the next verse, it says, "This was a great multitude which no one could count from every nation, race, people, and tongue who were there in the presence of the Lamb with their white robes and praising the Lord." So it's good news for us. There is no limit to heaven, and people from every nation, race, people, and tongue, from every walk of life, have been called, invited to this great multitude. And indeed, each of us is called. Each of us is called to join one day the number of the saints. And what is it that the saints do in heaven? What is it that they say, right? It's not like them winning the championship in football and singing, "We are the champions," right? They sing, "Salvation comes from our God." Because it's not about them, and they know that. It is about God. It is about the one who has given the gift of salvation that they now share. We see that in John's letter, that it's all about the Father's love. He continually says, "Look to the Father. See what love the Father has bestowed on us." Not the love that we've earned from the Father, the love that we've gotten out of His hand. Everyone has hope based on Him to be pure as He is pure. Our hope is not based on us and our efforts. It is based on God, and the saints know that. That is why they don't praise their own merits and the things that they've done, but they in heaven praise God. So I'd like maybe to look at this feast from a little different perspective today. Certainly we honor the saints, but I think we honor them maybe in light of last Sunday's gospel, which was that reading about the Pharisee and the publican. They both came to the temple, and the Pharisee told God how great He was, and the tax collector, the publican, simply said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And we know that it was his prayer that was heard. And truly, this is one thing that sets the Christian religion apart from others. That we recognize to be saints those who were willing to accept and to acknowledge their sinfulness and their weakness. St. John Henry Newman, in one of his sermons on this topic, on this scripture passage, says it very beautifully. He said, "Even the most favored of the glorious company of saints, whom Jesus has washed clean in His blood, they never forget what they were by birth. They confess one and all that they are children of Adam and of the same nature as their brothers and sisters and full of infirmities while in the flesh. Whatever may be the grace given them and their own improvement upon it in this life, so they never forget where they are from. Others, like us, may look upon them, the saints, but they ever look upon God. Others may speak of their merits, and we do so rightly, but they speak of their defects." He goes on to say that all of the saints, the ones who were the most innocent in this life and the ones who had been the hardest of sinners at one point before their conversion, they all unite in one litany. "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he goes on to list the different saints. And he talks about St. Philip Neri, who, when someone praised him, He cried out, "Begone, I am a devil and not a saint." And he would, even when he was to receive communion, he would protest before the Lord that he was good for nothing but to do evil. You see, the saints knew their own sin. And such utter lowering of themselves, John Henry Newman says, is the very badge and the token of the servant of Christ. And indeed, this is what Jesus' own words said when he said, "I have not come to call the just, but sinners." And we recognize in Jesus' words this great understanding of our spiritual life, that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself shall be exalted. That, my friends, is what is so remarkable about our faith and about our understanding of the saints. That from the very beginning we exalt our heroes and our examples, not just because of the good that they have done, but we celebrate that they owned up to their faults and their sins, and they turned to God with them. Think of St. Peter, the one upon whom the church was built. From the beginning, the Christian community did not just exalt the great proclamation of the gospel that he was able to give. They did not hide the fact that Peter himself denied our Lord. They accepted that this was part of the gospel, this was part of the good news, that without sin, there is no gospel. And so even St. Peter's sin was brought to the light and not hidden. The saints help us to understand the gospel because they are the ones who perfectly recognize their sinfulness and turn to God with those sublime words, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." When we see it in this light, the Beatitudes seem to become a bit more accessible, right? They are about how we deal with our lives, and especially with sin and its effects. For example, the humility to accept our spiritual poverty and the ability to grieve over our sins is what makes us truly blessed like the saints. And the result is that we become merciful and clean of heart and peacemakers. Now, it's the final beatitude that often we find most troubling. Blessed are the persecuted. You know, when we accept that we are not perfect, we accept that we are redeemed sinners, the world does not become enamored with us and applaud us for that. The world tries to take advantage of us in that regard, because the world is ruled by pride. It makes us, as Christians, targets of the world's persecution. But Jesus, of course, knew what he was saying when he said that blessed are the persecuted. And in heaven, what do we find the saints to be? These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Recognizing their sins brought upon them a time of great distress in this life. And yet, that is what made them become saints. We know too that our robes are stained with our sin. We want them to be washed in the blood of the Lamb to make them white as snow. The Feast of All Saints is the recognition that many, a great multitude, have had the humility to recognize their sin and to turn them over to the Lord to be washed. God has done it for the great multitude that surrounds the throne in heaven. And He wants to do it for us as well.